Dear Sangha, today, the 16th of June 2011, we are in Plum Village at Low Hamlet, the Assembly of Star Meditation Hall. Today is also the full moon day of the 5th of Lunar Month. We continue the sutra on keeping a pure mind while making the arms round. It seems that we have already the text in English and in French. This is what I have heard when Buddha was staying in Anathapindika Monastery in the Jetta Grove near the town of Shravasti. At that time, the Venerable Shariputra in the morning put on his robe and holding his bowl went into the town of Shravasti to beg for alms. When he had completed the alms round, he returned to the monastery, put away his Sangati robe and his bowl, and having washed his feet, carrying his sitting sitting mat, he went to the forest to practice daytime sitting. When his sitting meditation was over, he went to where the Buddha was staying, prostrate at the Buddha's feet, withdrew and sat down to one side of the Buddha. Then the Buddha asked Shariputra, where you have come from? Shariputra replied, Lord Buddha, I have just returned. Come here, my daytime sitting meditation in the forest. The Buddha asked, during your sitting meditation today, in which samadhi did you abide? Shariputra replied, Lord Buddha, I was sitting in the forest and entered into the samadhi on emptiness. The Buddha said, excellent, Shariputra, you have been practicing a deep meditation called the meditation of the elders. Sariputra, if bhikkhuni want to enter the meditation of elder, they should practice as follows. When going into town on the alms round or when leaving the town, the bhikkhu should practice reflecting as follows. While my eyes are in contact with form, is my mind giving rise to a thought of desire for that form? Am I being bound by a thought of sensual desire? Shariputra, if while the bhikkhu is practicing mindful observation like this and see that when his eyes are in contact with form, a feeling of sensual desire arises, he immediately finds a way to put an end to that state of mind. But that state of mind is not beneficial to his path of practice. The bhikkhu should be intent on finding a way that helps him master his mind and return to the practice. For instance, if someone knows that in his turban is on fire, he will, without delay, do his utmost, put the fire out. A bhikkhu should do the same. He should do everything he can to find a way to take hold of his mind in order to continue diligently in the practice. Say that the bhikkhu is walking on the road of the village or making an arms round in the village or leaving the village. He knows that he is producing mindfulness and is observing what is happening in his mind and is able to recognize directly when his eyes are in contact with form and his mind is not tainted with worldwide desire, etc. There's a text that you can consider. We also have the text in Chinese too for you to examine. There's a text in English, in Chinese for you to examine. So in this way, the monk practice, whether he is walking, standing, sitting, or lying down, he abides on the emptiness, samadhi. In the same in the same subject in Manjima. Majjhima Nikaya 151 Anguttara Nikaya also there is some text about that too. We remember a few details of the sutra. In the sutra, it mentioned that we can practice during the daytime. It means that they are also practicing during night time. So you said that meditation in daytime, it means that there is also nighttime practice too. And beside the work of nighttime practice, daytime practice, there is also the practice of walking. Walking from a monastery to the village and from the village back to the monastery. And also practice while sitting and eating. And every four position you have to practice. And so the practice is all day long, and every day you have to go to the village and beg for food. If every day you have to go to the village, you feel it boring. But if you see that this is the practice, and then you have to go, you go joyfully instead of feeling that duty. So in the monastery, even in the forest, you need to clean, you need to do everything. But while doing all these things, we try to do in mindfulness, we practice. So the practice in the time of the Buddha is exactly like now. There are those who go to beg for food, there are those who clean the monastery, those who fetch water to have enough for everyone to wash the feet, their arm before eating, and also those who beg for food will put on together and they will share on together. The second detail we can notice that after hearing the Shariputra reporting to the Buddha about the emptiness samadhi, the Buddha appreciate that practice. That is a basic practice. Even we call emptiness samadhi, but it's a basic practice. It's also a practice a very deep, like the practice for the elders. And the Buddha want to remind us that the practice of emptiness samadhi, you continue to keep that emptiness on the samadhi on emptiness, so even when you are in your day sitting meditation, or when you leave your monastery to go to the city, even when you go to the city you beg for food, even when you go back, and the Buddha make sure that don't consider that the samadhi on emptiness on sitting meditation is most important, but he said that you have to practice samadhi on emptiness even when you walk to the city, when you beg for food, when you go back, when you're eating. And he do not mention specifically like I said, but via this line you can see that is the Buddha emphasized that you have to practice the samadhi on emptiness at every act of your dailies. So there is one high monk who like to sit alone and stay walking meditation alone, baking food alone, and the Buddha asked him to come, and the Buddha asked why he do like that, and he said, yeah, I like to go alone, eating alone, sitting alone. And the Buddha said that even you can be alone, body and mind in oneness. And the Buddha do not despise, do not scold, but who said that there is a better way than to sit, instead of sitting alone, or walking alone, or eating alone, you can sit with a lot of people, go with a lot of people, but you still keep yourself alone. You still keep yourself alone is what? It means your body and your mind must be one, in a oneness, very deep. And even you are with the crowd, but you are one. You are alone, body and mind in oneness. So that's the second details. The third details is the word He Lui. He Lui means bounding, attaching. He Lui, like bounding, attaching. And then in Plum Village we use the word recognizing and embracing. We recognize that we have that feeling of attachment. You embrace it. You do not try to chase them away in a very hostile way, or in a fearful way, or in an escaping way, but you have to recognize and look deep, and then to see the very deep root of that habit. And then when you see the deep root of the habit, you can undo by yourself, you can go out by yourself naturally without big effort. So you accept it, you look deep, you embrace, you look deep, deep, deep until you see the root of that, and then you go out with ease, without forcing yourself to do anything. So the Buddha reminds us that when we go to the city and wherever we go, we recognize some mental formation negative, and then you accept, you recognize, you look deep, and then you find a way in order to get out. Another detail is tenwa. Tenwa is purify. Purify your mind. There is something not very pure in your mind, in your way of thinking, looking, judging, and then try to purify it. Like in the water, there is quite a lot of mud. Find a way so that the mud will be settled down. And so there is some attachment, some negative state of mind, like attachment, jealousies, complex and low self-esteem, high self-esteem, that you recognize, that you smile to it, you accept that, and you look deeper and deeper and deeper until you see the root, one root, two root, three root, and then you can go out by yourself, and you are free from that. It's not a kind of suppression. But so you can look deeply, not only while you are sitting, but look deeply when you are walking, when you are eating, or so on. So that is a process of purification your mind. So you recognize that negative state of your mind and look deep, embrace and purify it by seeing the root and getting out. There is one details. It's not only here, but in the application in many other sutra. When the sutra said that when your eyes is in touch is what something, and then after that they didn't say that your ear, your nose, but it means that your eyes is like that, but your ear is also like that. Your nose is mean your five sense organs are in touch with, and there is this negative habit, and you recognize. But sometimes, in order to simplify it, many sutra they only mention about the eyes, but they don't mention other five sense organs. Four sense organs, I mean altogether five, but the sixth one is the mental, the mind consciousness. So in this sutra, you mention only the eyes are in touch with the form, the color, and it didn't mention ear, nose, and so when you see the word observation on the contact of your eyes, you have to know that the five other organs as well as the mind consciousness must be also is the same. Like the eyes consciousness, so eyes consciousness, ear consciousness, nose consciousness, tongue consciousness, body consciousness, mind consciousness. So because if they repeat too much, it's too long, and so when they say I, you must know that six, five others involved. In Dhamma, when people speak about the five Dhamma seals, we mention usually impermanence, suffering, no self. Ang means seal. The seal stamp on that and recognize that is the true teaching of the Buddha. It's not somebody add and invent and put in the mouth of the Buddha. So the Buddha said, when I'm not there, and then if somebody said that the Buddha said so, you have to use the three Dhamma seal to be sure that that is from my teaching. And the three Dhamma seal in some school a little bit different. So in Theravada school, people used to speak about impermanence, suffering, and non-self. In the heart of the Buddhas, we mention quite a lot about that. Three Dhamma seal, impermanence, non-self, and nirvana. In the heart of Buddha teaching, I explained lengthily about that. And so they go back again. Theravada, they mention impermanence, suffering, and non-self. And for Thai, impermanence, non-self, and nirvana is more correct. There is many reason that to prove that what I believe that is impermanence, non-self, and nirvana are more correct. First, because in many sutra, these three seal like impermanent, non-self, and nirvana is have been mentioned several times in many very old sutra. And then they said that people change the word nirvana to suffering because these schools are so obsessed by the idea that life is so a lot of suffering. I feel that is not correct. Suffering is a seal because the essential, the nature is the essence of reality is impermanence, non-self, and nirvana. For instance, this table is impermanent. Even it look like that, but it's in 10 years, it's different already. It's a bit worn, and more it's collapsed. And so, vô ngã means non-self. It look like a separate table, but in fact, you look deep, you see that without the trees, without the forest, without the carpenter, without the skillfulness of the carpenter, we don't have that table. So you see that table have no separate self. They come from the self of the carpenter, of the forest, of so on. And so that we can understand. But talk about the nirvana. Why the table is nirvana? And but why the table is suffering? Kho means a suffering. Suffering is a state of mind. The table is not suffering. The suffering comes from the fact that you perceive wrongly. Yeah. We perceive wrongly, you suffer. Like things is impermanent, but you are so sure that everything is permanent, and then you suffer when you see change. The table you bought very clean, new, and you want, but 100 years later is clean and new like that, and you suffer because your perception about the table is wrong. You must know that everything is impermanent, including your table, including your body, including everything. So because you perceive wrongly that you suffer. So in the Ratnakuta Sutra, the Buddha said that the five skandhas are impermanence. But because we are so sure that our five skandhas are permanence and we suffer. And the five skandhas are non-self, but we are so sure that our five skandhas have a separate self and we suffer. So in Ratnakuta, the Buddha said so. And he said that. And then the Buddha illustrated why somebody throw a rock to the dog, and the dog is so feel hurt, and the dog bark back to the rock, because the dog thought that the rock make him hurt, but in fact is he must look deeper. The one who throw the rock is the enemy. Is the cause of his suffering. It's not the rock, and so the five skandhas is not the cause of your suffering, but because you want the five skandhas to be permanent, and then as the nature of everything is impermanent, everything change, and your five skandhas, it means your body and your mind are changing, but you want them to be absolutely permanent, and because of that, when it change, you suffer. So, impermanence, non-self, and suffering is not correct. That is the second way to see that the three seal is impermanence, non-self, and nirvana. There's many sutra who mention that. There's few sutra who mention these three other seal. It means suffering instead of nirvana. Then there's a sutra the Buddha asked, things are impermanence or not? And the Buddha is, everything is impermanent. And then the things are impermanent, things are non-self. Yes, non-self. And then the Buddha asked, so everything is impermanent, everything is non-self. Is suffering, that's right? And the speaker said that, yes. So that is a sutra. There's some sutra who mentioned like that, and so some Theravada mentioned. So, fortunately, there is a number of sutra that they still keep these three seals. I remember the sutra called Agama, some sutra in Agama. But they repeat 4 times or 5 times impermanence, non-self, and nirvana. And impermanence, non-self, and nirvana, for me, is the most correct Dhamma seal. We can divide impermanence and non-self belonging to phenomena, and then nirvana belong to the nature. So impermanence and non-self belong to the phenomena, and the other one belong to noumena. Noumena, and the other upper part is nimitta. It means the dimension of phenomena, and then the dimension of noumena. It means the dimension of ultimate nature. Ultimate nature. So in the sutra, who mentioned, some sutra mentioned the three Dhamma seal is emptiness, signlessness, and aimlessness. Emptiness, signlessness, and aimlessness. But they also call three Dhamma seal. In our chanting book, we have the Dhamma seal sutra translate from the Tripitaka. The Buddha spoke about Dhamma seal, holy Dhamma seal. Thánh means holy, ấn means seal, pháp Dhamma. Thánh, holy Dhamma seal in the new revised Tripitaka. And the Dhamma, that sutra is 104, 104 sutra. And the Buddha said that is the most wonderful Dhamma seal is emptiness, signlessness, aimlessness. And that is the most specific in Buddhism. Beside that sutra, in Amagga Agama, there is one that Agama is equivalent to Samyutta Nikaya in the Theravada, Pali Tripitaka, and is also there. And in that Nikaya, Samyutta Nikaya is also mentioned, the three Dhamma seal, and also emptiness, aimlessness, signlessness. So it's proof that this, they are authentic, because both belong, like Theravada as well as Mahayana, have also these three, exactly the same three seal. Emptiness, signlessness, aimlessness. So any school of Buddhism, there is always three Dhamma seal. And sometimes they call also the three door of liberation. So sometimes they call Dhamma seal, sometimes they call three door of liberation. In this Ama Agaman 80, and I forget to tell you the number 80. Tap Aham is Agama, but Tap, I don't know the word. Yeah. So Tap Aham Agama 80 is and the Buddha said that don't believe that you can have only one. You don't need emptiness, but you need only signlessness and aimlessness. And the Buddha said that no, if you cannot see the true nature of emptiness, you will not attain the aimlessness, the signlessness, and the seamless aimlessness. Sign, it means that you go through on the sign, you see the ascension. And aimlessness is you don't need to go anywhere. You stay there, you look deep, and you have all the past, present, the future. You have the whole universe. So it's aimlessness. So the sutra where we are learning now, and we mentioned about the samadhi on emptiness. Samadhi is deep concentration on emptiness. Samadhi on emptiness. So samadhi on emptiness in that sutra they mentioned is very important, because wherever you can practice deeply the concentration on emptiness, and then you can see you can reach easily the signlessness. And then when you see like that, you are not caught by the sign. That you can call God or Buddha is the same. If the essence is the same, the essence is the same. Yeah. If you do not see the true value of emptiness, it means the inner being of everything, and then you cannot, you can see the signlessness and aimlessness. But if those who report to you that, oh, I enlightened already on the practice of signlessness and aimlessness, but I do not practice emptiness, samadhi. So that is not correct. I don't believe that that person said truthfully. So we have to go to the sutra called Không tương ưng duyên khởi từ tùy thuộc. I wait for Thầy to translate. Không, không mean not. Duyên khởi co-arising condition dependently to etc. So I think that I will translate properly first. It's come from Chinese, so there's some Chinese word I don't quite understand. Sino-Vietnamese. Không tương ưng duyên khởi. The Sutra 293 of Tap Agama. That the one we just learned is 236. That one is 293. Of Agama. Now we are going to learn that sutra 993. We don't have the translation text yet. However, we can learn the essential first, before you have the text, the full text. But I couldn't translate. That is translating, explaining. Tương ứng here. The Sanskrit term is samyutta. It means go together with. Can go together with. There is no opposition, no conflicting. Like the object and the subject. Your mind. So the subject is Alaya Vijnana, but the object of Alaya Vijnana are many mental formations, etc. So they go together. They go together in harmoniously, no opposition. Like the river and all the stream who enter into river, they go together in the same. Like all member of the Sangha, they go together as a river. No conflict. The nature is not conflicting nature. But the word, the second word, is tùy thuận, accordingly, according to my knowledge, it's like that. I'll see, I explain. Tùy thân, Sanskrit term is anu. Anu. The word tùy thân, anulomata. It means go together with, try to adapt to be harmonious with, tùy thuận. So like we use a computer, the hard part and the soft part must go together. Hardware and software must go together. If no, it's not compatible. And in English, we can translate by conformity. The word go together with is go together with co-arising conditions. Anumulata. Shunyata. Samyutta, không tương ứng. không minh sunyata. Samyutta is tương ứng. And in this sutra, the Buddha asks us to look deep about the co-arising conditions. Try to look deep about co-arising conditions. Co-arising interdependence condition, like the left is born in the same time the right. That is co-arising. It means arising at the same time, left and right, above, below, up, down. They cannot. They co-arising. And is rely on each other to manifest, dependent to manifest. Dependent co-arising, translated by duyên khởi. Pratitaya samyutpada. The Buddha said that this is because that is. This is not because that is not. You can pronounce in Vietnamese, but Vietnamese people won't understand because it's Sino-Vietnamese. Thế giới. They said that it's very old style. It means because this one exists, because this one exists, that because that one exists, and so this one exists. This one, because that one exists, so this one exists. So we have who here, it exists. Exists, being. This one arising because that one exists, that one is, the other one arise. In some area, they translate by the, and a little bit different, the kobiho. Is translated in a simpler way. This is because that is. This is because that is. is one is born, the other one is born. And so we see the word being and the word arising. So when you look at something, some object, you have to see the co-arising, the interdependence of that object. It means that object have many, many, many things depending to each other, many conditions depending to each other. You have to see in that, in the light of co-arising dependence. And so you will see that this one is unique, permanent, have a separate self. No, you see in that way, and then you say that this thing, even the best one, but is also non-permanent and non-self. And when we can see the presence of that thing or the absence of that one, if we can see on this thing on the base of co-arising dependence, and then you have the ability to enter into the emptiness. So your view on co-arising dependence is deep enough, skillful enough, and then you can enter into the world of emptiness easily. And there is no difference, no difficulty. And because you guys co-arising dependence condition, if you speak on the phenomena system in the compounding things, who be Sanskrita compounding. Compounding things like the flower. This flower is a compounding things because it's made of different elements like sunshine, cloud, mud, caring, etc. So that is a compounding things. If you take out sunshine, mud, every other thing, the lotus cannot be exist. So the lotus is a compound things. A compounded thing. So when you see the phenomena and the nature of compounded nature of them, and then you can see that their form, their sign, and you can go through their sign in order to see the essential, the deepest part, the ultimate dimension. You go from the historical dimension, you look deep and you touch the ultimate dimension. So you base on the historical dimension and you reach the ultimate dimension. So it means you literally mean you go via the signs in order reach the signlessness. you go from the world of phenomena enter into the world of suchness of nature. And you come from the world of compounded things, and then you arrive to the unconditioned things. And so all the Dharma as compounded things. If you look deeply the compounded things skillfully, you can have enough criterion condition in order to enter into the world of ultimate dimension. And during the three seal, impermanence, non-self, and nirvana, the impermanence and the non-self can describe the world of phenomena. And when you see deeply the world of phenomena, you can reach the
có yes here mà thầy có đây
this not a row, there is two face, the tail and the head, and the tail represent the impermanence and the head represent the non-self. That is about the phenomena that you can touch. But is the two element, head and tail of the euro. But these two rely on the metal element. The metal element, but there is no head, they are head and tail. They are born in the same time, go arising. Head and tail, they go arising. When they go out, go arising, head and tail. About the phenomena, they go arise in the same time. They exist in the same time, head and tail. Bên mặt và bên trái. But the both of them rely on the third. The third part is the metal part of the euro. You do not see. You only see the head or the tail of the euro. But via the head and the tail, you know that is made by what? Not by charcoal, but by metal. So you look at the head and the tail, you know that is made with metal. And so that metal is a kind of belonging not to the world of phenomena, but in the world of deeper, the world of ultimate dimension. So the ground of both, and so that ground, in Sanskrit we call svabhava, is the ground, the nature. Without the metal, you cannot have the two face of a euro, but if we are skillful enough, you rely on the three side of the euro, and we can touch the deeper part, which is the metal. And so In Buddhism, we call it tung tướng nhập tánh. It means you rely on the form in order to touch the nature, the suchness, the ultimate dimension of these two things. So in order to go to emptiness, you have to go to the nirvana. You must be very skillful, very releasing, relaxing. Don't carry with you so many things. So like the physicists nowadays, quantum physicists nowadays, they have to leave away a number of concepts in the past. If you bring with you all the concept on physics in the time of Newton, you cannot reach the quantum physics nowadays. And so you have to abandon all these notions in the time of Newton. And in the Newton time, they believe that the earth is the earth, the moon is the moon, the sun is the sun. There's nothing inter being. But when you look deeper, you see that one exists in the other exists in that one, and then they interact deeply. And one atom, one electron, or one particle, atom is small, but electron is smaller, and the particle is smallest, but they superpose to each other. In the world of our daily world, when you are a particle, you can be only a particle. If in the notion of Newton, it means 3 centuries before. But now, with the new science views, you will see that they are quite different. Sometimes they look like particle, sometimes they look like wave. It depends on the subject, on you, on your mind. And in your mind at that moment, in a condition at that moment, you see the particle as a wave, but in other conditions you see as a particle. And so it go deep together with the function of your mind too, so that they are very deeply linked to each other. So when you enter into the world of emptiness, you have to leave behind all this notion about so everything is impermanent, is non-self. And if you look like that, and then you leave behind everything and you enter into the world of emptiness, the world of... So you have to rely on the co-arising condition in order to arrive to that, in order to arrive to that. So you have to look the phenomena world in a skillful way so that you can release on your notion in the past. Only that you can. If you do not see the emptiness, the practice of emptiness, and then you say that you know signlessness and aimlessness. I don't truly believe it. You need to sit, do sitting meditation, and in that position you look deeper. In this sutra 293, this very sutra 293, that you can see, we have to rely on the compounded things in order to go to unconditioned Dhammas. That we can find in the Agama 293. And in this sutra, the Buddha taught this sentence. I share all my best, but still a number of you cannot see it because you look deep about the co-arising dependence. It's already a difficult thing to do it. You look deep about the co-arising dependence in order to see what we have. But when we enter into the emptiness, in the world of emptiness, the notion of emptiness of everything, then you have to be very, very carefully, be careful, and only we can drop on these things that you can enter into the world of. Unconditioned Dhamma. Also in this sutra, I will ask the Vaptan to write it in Chinese, Sino-Vietnamese, and then we can read. We will read. We'll learn like next time maybe. Không tương ứng. There's a sentence like that. I taught already a number of you, but these friends still feel very vague and cannot catch the meaning what I share. They cannot obtain what I really want to share. That is why in their mind is still some doubt, some suspicion. Why? Because the teaching of dependent co-arising is already difficult. And if you enter into the view of emptiness is more difficult, and you need to be very skillful in order to be able to see that. The dependent co-rising is already difficult, and so the other one is more difficult. So you have to drop some in order to skillfully enter and reach that emptiness. I think that next time we will have time to learn. And you have the text in Chinese and in English. Yes, Sangha, maybe it's enough for today. We continue next time.